Mike Prada from SB Nation. Mike, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. I noticed you did not mention the race for the bottom of the East, which a bunch of teams who are 6 games under 500, and a team that is 30-48 just got eliminated last night. I mean, I don't know why you're not excited about that race.
Well, we're in Edmonton. I've been covering the bottom of the standings for far too long, so I like to switch it and focus on the top of the standings, my man.
No, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Good choice.
The San Antonio, let's start with the San Antonio Spurs. Are they suddenly a team everybody should be leery of?
Oh, no question. And it's not just because they've done this 5 times and they seem to always be in this position every year. It's that when they have Kawhi Leonard in the lineup, remember, he missed a lot of time. And when he didn't play, they were kind of, that was when they played their worst. If you look at the point differential, when just in the games that Kawhi Leonard has played, it's right up there with Golden State and Cleveland and all the other top teams in Atlanta and all the other top teams in the league. So they obviously have Kawhi Leonard right now, and, you know, they're in great form right this second. But, you know, frankly, they've been very good when he's played all year, and that sample size is a lot bigger than this 9-game run. So they're absolutely a threat. You know, the biggest thing that could hold them up is that there's a good chance they play Golden State in the second round, and that would be probably the two best teams playing way too early in the playoffs. So that would be a bit of a shame. But, you know, that's really their biggest obstacle right now, is that they've got to play Golden State, and they're going to probably have to play them really early in the playoffs.
Mike, your thoughts on people talk about momentum in every sport. We're talking about San Antonio. The Clippers have also been on a roll heading into the playoffs. How much weight, if any, do you put on that kind of thing?
You know, frankly, not much at all. If you look at studies that study this stuff, I forget, some site has done this before. The first quarter of the season actually corresponds more to playoff success than the last quarter. Now, you might not think that because, you know, in the first half of the year, I mean, Cleveland was a disaster, and the teams were completely different. I mean, the exception is, of course, if you make a big trade in midseason. But, you know, you would think that, like, you want to be playing well at the right time, peaking. But I think what happens, actually, is that, and this is certainly the case for the Clippers, looking at who they played recently, you know, teams at the beginning of the year are really geared up. Everybody thinks they can win. Everybody thinks they can do good stuff. I mean, maybe not everybody thinks they can win. But everybody is kind of playing, there's still hope. But by the time you roll around in March and April, I mean, hope has gone out the door for half the league, or a third of the league, and injuries have piled up, and guys are tired and all that. So you might have a couple teams that are kind of maybe rounding into form that just kind of pick off all these bad teams. But when you get to the playoffs, everybody's geared up. Everybody's amped. Everybody's ready to go. So some of that kind of fades away. So I think what's actually – it's a little counterintuitive, but I actually think that teams that have started well – you know, unless, of course, they made a big midseason change, like someone like Dallas and Cleveland, or, you know, in San Antonio's case, they've been good when healthy all year. But someone like the Clippers, you know, even though they're playing well right now, I would be concerned, because when everybody was kind of geared up, they were not as good as they have been. So I think that actually may matter more than what they're doing right now.
Talking NBA with Mike Prada from SB Nation. Mike, the Toronto Raptors, you know, a lot of people in Toronto are concerned about that team. Obviously, the health of Kyle Lowry is a big one. If Lowry's not back, no one should expect them to win a round.
No, probably not. But Lowry did play the other night. I know they're being careful with him, so I don't know if he's going to play on Friday. But I believe he did play against Charlotte. Am I wrong?
From what I'm reading, it says Lowry hopes to return from a back injury against Orlando.
Okay, well,
Friday.
I thought he played against Charlotte. But either way, yeah, I mean, there's no question that if your best player is dealing with a back issue, I think that's a problem. There's no question about that. So, you know, that's a reason to be concerned. You know, I think he'll be able to play in the playoffs. I think that there are a couple games that maybe if they haven't played him yet, that they could have played him, and they're just kind of making sure he's healthy for the postseason. You know, and Toronto, the biggest saving grace that Toronto has is that they're in the Eastern Conference. I mean, assuming, of course, that the Raptors want to win a playoff round, where, you know, if they do, maybe it makes them think that their team is closer than they are. I mean, that's obviously something to think about. But, you know, assuming they actually want to win a round and kind of do all that, I mean, the fact that they're in the East is a real saving grace. I mean, they could get, right now they get Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is a below 500 team in the first round. And even if they don't, they get to play Washington, a team that struggled in the second half too, and Chicago, who kind of hasn't really found itself yet. So, you know, as bad as Toronto has been the second half of the year, I mean, and this applies too to Washington and Chicago, they can all kind of look at the landscape and say, you know, as bad as we've been, as many injuries that we've suffered, you know, we have a pretty good chance of making the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, that's actually, that would be a pretty good season for all, you know, at least two of those teams. I'm not sure about Chicago, who had higher aspirations, but that would be a pretty good year for Toronto.
What do you make of the, you know, Dwight Howard's impact now back in Houston?
Well, I mean, he's a big piece. I think he's fit in pretty well. It seems clear that he is willing to, he's seen what James Harden has done. He doesn't want to get in his way. You know, if you're Houston, though, I think the big concern is not integrating Howard. I think that's gone quite well. The big concern is you've got injuries now to Domantas Sabonis and Pat Beverley, and, you know, you might have to play someone like a Joey Dorsey too many minutes in the playoffs. But I think Howard is, in Howard's case, I think he's fit in very nicely coming back. And they're, you know, if they can kind of overcome some of these injuries, you know, that's a tough team to play too. I mean, they got blown up by San Antonio the other night, but in previous matchups, they've matched up pretty well with the Spurs, and that has to give them confidence.
Mike, for my money, Golden State's the best team in the NBA. Doesn't mean I'm right, but that's how I see it. The problem, the problem being, and you've referred to, you know, the weakness in the East is, there's a whole bunch of guys who can knock you off when you look at the at that top group. I mean, there's what, six teams with 50 wins right now? One, two, three, four, five, six.
Yeah.
It's a, they may be the best team, but they've got a far tougher road.
You know, they do, but I think that unless they have to deal with San Antonio, I don't think any of those other teams are even really on their level. I mean, it's as tough as the West is relative to the East. I mean, the East does not have strong teams, but, you know, they the Warriors don't have to play Cleveland until the finals. They don't have to play Atlanta until the finals. You know, their first-round series, with the way Oklahoma City is injured, and with, I mean, New Orleans is a nice, young, little team, but they're not really, they're not any better than Toronto or Chicago or whatever. So that first-round series won't be tough. And, you know, again, after that, it's like you kind of, you have a tough second-round series, and then you probably have the Spurs in whatever order possible. I mean, it's a hard road, no question. But I don't know if this is the strong, deep West that it was touted to be and it has been in years past. I think some of these supporting teams are not quite as good as, say, a couple years ago when Memphis was a 7 seed last year. I mean, that there's no 7 seed or lower seed that's good as that's as good as Memphis was last year, I don't think. So, you know, the road is tough, but I don't think it's quite as tough as reputation would suggest.
Mike, one last one for you. We just saw Okafor, of course, in the in March Madness in the Final Four. And, you know, a lot of people are raving about him. You know, plays the game with his back to the basket, and they say very good. I'm not sure if there's that many guys who play that way anymore in the NBA that are focal points on offense. Tim Duncan may be a little bit of an exception to it, but, you know, he's a great shooter. What do you make of Okafor? Is he a guy that you think a winning team can build around the way the NBA is played now?
You know, I haven't watched Okafor play a ton outside of the tournament. I should say that as a caveat. But I do think you're onto something in the sense that, you know, his style of play is harder to do in the NBA now, where you can zone up and where you can kind of help out, you know, with multiple guys. And it's just kind of harder to back a dude in and shoot over him than it was in the 90s. And if, in Okafor's case, he's got to get quicker. I mean, he's got to get quicker laterally. He's got to have a little bit of a perimeter game that he develops. You know, he's got to be a little bit more assertive fighting for the ball. You know, it's not just going to be so easy where you can just dump the ball over guys. And, you know, you saw that in the tournament. You know, he had a couple games when they played players who were big like him against the Utah guy and against the Gonzaga guys, where he really did not make as big an impact as was expected. So, but I'm also careful not to write off anything that happens with a 19-year-old. I mean, he's still very young. We've seen a lot of cases of guys that get in better shape laterally as they get to the NBA, that learn how to play, you know, with verticality as they enter the NBA. You know, Okafor would not be the first and would not be the last player like him to to become a little bit more mobile once they kind of get an NBA training program. So, but I think you raise enough good points to the point where I think that Karl Towns is a better prospect.
Yeah, no. I definitely wouldn't argue with that. I think he's a guy who could help a team. I'm just not sure the way the NBA's played now, he can be your focal point of your offense. Mike, appreciate your stuff, man. Enjoy the final few weeks and then into playoffs.
All right, take care.